Maybe you feel like your spiritual tank is empty, or perhaps serving has left you feeling too exhausted to take another step. You know, the reality is, serving is probably more like a marathon than a sprint. So how do you keep going when you feel like giving in? How do you manage to not lose heart amidst all the hardships? What is the secret to finding the strength to live sent? Welcome back to the Living Sent Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Wester, and this is episode 32. And on today's episode, we are talking about how to move from feeling burned out to experiencing breakthrough as you live sent. If you are new to this podcast community, I wanted to let you know that I release a new episode on the first Wednesday of each month with the purpose of helping you live like an everyday missionary in your household, neighborhood, workplace, and city. And let me just speak from the heart for just a moment. If you are a Christ follower, then the reality is you have already been sent by Jesus to join him on mission. When Jesus was raised back to life, he said this in John chapter 20. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." This podcast is devoted to helping you make that calling a reality in your life. And so here's my promise to you. I'm going to take every minute of this podcast seriously and use every moment to add value to your life as you live sent. I wanted to remind you of two things as we get started. First, you can get today's show notes for free by visiting my website at justinwester.com, navigating to the podcast tab, and downloading them there for free. Why would you do that? Well, maybe you are a part of a small group at your church and you want to go deeper into today's content. Maybe you lead a team at church or in your workplace and you want to use these notes to have a discussion with those individuals. Or maybe you simply want to dig a little deeper personally into what it means to experience daily renewal in Christ. Whatever the case may be, the show notes are there for you, and they are completely free, so be sure to grab them after listening to today's episode. Second, I want to encourage you to share this episode with a friend on social media and leave a review wherever you are consuming this content. You know, each time you do that, it is like an absolute gift to me, and I would really, really appreciate your feedback. Anytime I receive one of those, I take them very seriously, and it encourages me like no other. So a big thank you in advance. Here's today's episode, and I hope it encourages you to move from burnout to breakthrough. But if you've been following Jesus for a long time, or maybe even for a short time, you know that there are joys attached to serving, but you also know that serving is not all sunshine and roses. Like, sometimes serving can be plain hard. Like, sometimes you might even wake up in the morning and you would say, "I don't even know if I have the energy to get out of bed. Like, I don't even know if I have even anything left in my tank to give God just a little bit or to give others just a little bit." Like, maybe you showed up this morning and you feel that way and you would say, "Man, I am like exhausted. I just feel overworked. I feel disappointed. I just feel tired. I feel stressed out. I feel burned out. I feel discouraged." And serving can actually produce all of those things. But for those that might feel that way this morning, I've got some really good news, because the person who wrote our passage this morning, the person who wrote 2 Corinthians 4, can relate to every single one of those things. And if there was somebody who was saved to serve, it was the Apostle Paul. Like, when Jesus saved Paul, when he called him out of darkness into light, he told Paul up front, he said, "Man, you are going to serve me. And your life is going to be marked by service, both literally and figuratively." And Paul, believe me, he knew the joys of serving God and other people, but Paul also knew the hardships and the suffering that can go with it as well. I want you to look up on the screen and read some of the things that Paul went through as he served Jesus. He says, "I've been through far greater labors, far more imprisonments with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked.
A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys. Listen to this. In danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Oh yeah, and by the way, one more thing, he adds. He says, apart from the other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And I think as startling as that list is, what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is even more so. Paul says, despite the difficulties, despite the hardships, despite the unimaginable pain and suffering that he went through, Paul says, but we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. And I think that is unbelievable. Because any one of these things would cause most people to say, I'm out. I'm tapping out. God, I know you've called me to this, but I don't think I can do it. I don't think I have the strength to carry on. I thought I signed up for one thing. This seems like something altogether different. I don't want to do it. And it makes you wonder, makes me wonder, how did Paul even get up out of bed in the morning? How was he able to get up and actually put one foot in front of the other and keep loving people, keep serving people, keep sharing about Jesus? Like, what is his secret? And he says this at the end of chapter 4. We're going to get there in just a moment. But he says, though our outer self is wasting away. So Paul, in his mind, he says, you know, my physical body's giving out. I've been beaten up and bruised by life. Though my outer self is wasting away, he says, our inner self is being renewed day by day. You see, on the outside, life was tearing Paul down. But on the inside, Jesus was building Paul up on a daily basis. And so whenever Paul met those daily disappointments, Jesus was right there. Jesus was right there building him up daily. That's how he had strength to serve. And the hope of the gospel is this. Because of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you can experience that reality today. The reality that Jesus wants to renew you, refresh you, and revive you on a daily basis and put in you the strength to serve others. And so I want to share our big idea today, and then we'll look closer at God's word. Our big idea is this. Strength to serve comes from daily renewal in Christ. Strength to serve comes from daily renewal in Christ. Let's pray together, and then we'll open up God's word. Abba, Father, thank you that we don't have to do this on our own. Life certainly brings daily disappointments. It's almost on a conveyor belt, it seems like, at times. But we know, because of the gospel, because of your promises, because of your word, because of our past experiences and how you've been faithful to us, that you are right there every step of the way offering daily renewal. And Father, we confess to you that serving sometimes can be very hard, that it can almost seem impossible at times. But we cling to the fact that nothing's impossible with you and that you promise to be with us and strengthen us and fill us to give to you and to give to others as we point them to Jesus. So as we open up your word this morning, Lord, we pray that you would speak a fresh word into our lives, that you would show us how to be renewed every single day in Christ. And all God's people said, amen. So we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read the entire thing. We're going to do it in large chunks. So let's read the first section here together, and we'll come back to one spot. But this is the word of God beginning in verse 1. Paul writes, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. There it is the first time. We do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So how do you experience daily renewal in Christ? How do you experience daily renewal in Jesus? Here's the first way. You consider your God-given purpose. You consider your God-given purpose. Paul writes in verse 1, going all the way back to the beginning, he said, "Therefore, having this ministry," let's just pause there for a second. Having this ministry, what ministry is Paul talking about? Well, go back with me in your mind to Paul's salvation experience. Probably one of the most well-known salvation experiences in all of the Bible. He's on the Damascus Road, and all of a sudden, Jesus meets him there. A blinding light interrupts his journey, and Jesus speaks from heaven. He says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It's this dramatic experience. And later in the book of Acts, in Acts 26, Paul is recounting his testimony. And he shares a little bit more details about what Jesus said to him during that moment. And this is what Jesus said to Paul in Acts 26. He said, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." That was the ministry that Paul had received from Jesus. He had a God-given purpose. And I want you to hear me on this. If you are a Christ follower, if you are a Christian, if Jesus has made you into a new creation, then you have one too. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In other words, you have been saved to serve. To serve God and to serve others with your life, with your work, with your family, with your hobbies, with your talents, with your treasures, with your time, everything before God. If you know Jesus, then you have a God-given purpose. And if you know Jesus, Jesus calls you this. He says, you are a minister of the gospel. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are his representative, as if God were making his appeal through you. So let me ask you this. Is that how you see yourself? Do you see yourself as having God-given purpose? Do you see yourself as a minister of the gospel? Maybe you say, "Well, not really." I want to reassure you that Jesus sees you just like that. And Paul adds to this first verse a really important piece that he would never forget. Look back at verse 1. He says, "Therefore, having this ministry," or this God-given purpose, he says, "by the mercy of God." Let's stop there for a second, because this is really, really important. This is in part where Paul experiences his daily renewal. What is mercy again? Mercy is getting what you is not getting what you deserve. So if you were to do something wrong and you were supposed to pay the consequence or pay the price and you did not get it, that's mercy. I remember one time in Lynchburg, while Lindsay and I were living there, we were on the way to a friend's graduation, running a little late as usual. And so I thought I'd make up some time by speeding a little bit. We were going down this windy road, and at the bottom there was a police officer, which I have a philosophical disagreement with that, but he was at the bottom of the hill, and I was going pretty fast, and he clocked me at the bottom of the hill. I saw the lights, and he came up to the car, and he said, hey, I got you going 18 over in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. And I was like, oh, this is going to hurt, you know. So he writes the ticket, ruins my day. We go to the graduation. We make it. We come home, and I remember just taking a nap. I was so frustrated. I just laid down on the bed. I took a nap, and I was woken up by Lindsay bursting into the room, and she was like, Justin, the police officer that wrote you the ticket, he's at our apartment door. Like, he knocked on the door, and so I'm, you know, wiping the sleep out of my eyes, and sure enough, he's standing right there, and he said, hey, I think I may have made a mistake on the ticket. He said, I need to look at it again. And so I said, oh, okay. And so we walk down the stairs, I get it out of the vehicle, and I hand it to him, and without saying a word, he just starts to rip up the ticket right in front of me. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, you actually were not going 18 over in a 30. He said, you were actually going 13 over in a 35. And he said, I got a little rule. He said, 15 under, you're fine. 15 over, you're mine. And he walked away. That's what mercy feels like. And the reality is, God shows us that and showers that upon us. God loved you even when you were unlovable, even in your sin, even when you willingly turned your back on God, even when we rebelled against Him, even when we were called enemies of God, God still sent Jesus. Romans 5 says that God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took the punishment and the penalty that your sins deserved on the cross. And at the cross, what He did there, it actually counted for you. And so now through faith in Him, you can be made right with God. You can be restored to right relationship with God. You can be clothed in His righteousness. You can be made and adopted into His family, made into a child of the Most High. And friends, it is all mercy. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, Paul says, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Another translation says, we do not give up. In the original language, it's the idea of not acting cowardly or not shrinking back in fear. And Paul says, man, when I think about what God has done for me, when I think about my God-given purpose on this planet, he said, when I meditate on those things, when I reflect on those things, it just instantly fills me with courage. It fills me with courage. I become very bold. I will never give up. I will never shrink back. I will never cower in fear. He says, my focus is set. My mind is made up. I'm determined. I'm resolved. I'm not going to stop or quit when things get hard. I'm not going to settle for anything less than God's best. I'm not going to take any shortcuts or make excuses for sin. I'm going to stand on God's truth. I'm going to take my next step of faith. I have been saved to serve. So does that happen in your heart when you think about God's purpose in your life? Like when you think about how God has rescued you from the domain of darkness and it says literally transferred you into the kingdom of His beloved Son, does that produce courage and renewal in your heart? I have to be honest, I have to come back to this regularly. I have to come back to the gospel, all the way back to the reality that God in His grace has actually reached down from heaven and changed my life. Because I'll be honest with you, some days serving can be really, really difficult. And I want to share with you something that I keep in my Bible that helps me think through my God-given purpose. And I haven't shared this before, but I'll return to this often and read this. It's seen better days, but it's still legible. This is what I remind myself of when I need daily renewal in Christ. Just a couple things here. It says, number one, you are a child of God. At one time, you did not know Him, but through Jesus you now do. He paid your sin debt on the cross by dying in your place and made it possible for you to know your Heavenly Father. He did for you what you could never have done for yourself. Be like your Heavenly Dad. Represent him well to the world. Here's the second thing. You are a servant missionary. Jesus has invited you to join him in his redemptive mission. Don't be surprised when people treat you like a servant. You are one. Jesus, though equal with God, took on the form of a servant. Be like him. Love people enough to approach them on their terms. Don't wait for them to come to you. Most never will, and there isn't much time. Don't be scared to be a missionary. You are one, and Jesus will go with you. Consider your God-given purpose. Look with me at verse 7. Paul writes this. He says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." Let's pause here for a second. Here's the second way to experience daily renewal in Jesus. Paul says that we're to rely on God's power. To rely on God's power. In the first century, clay pots were a dime a dozen. They were used for all kinds of things. People would store things in clay pots or clay jars. They put food in there. They put drinks in there. People would use clay jars and clay pots for transporting things. Sometimes they would take goods to the market and sell them. Sometimes a clay pot was taken out to the well and water was put in it to bring it back into the home. And sometimes too, a lot of times actually, clay pots were used to transport human waste out of the home. But here's the thing about clay pots. Clay pots are not that durable. Like, you could not get a commercial grade clay pot in the first century. You couldn't go down to your local Harbor Freight and say, "Hey, you know, I'm looking for an industrial strength clay pot. Do you have any?" Right? It's just you had what you had. They were a dime a dozen. They were everywhere. They chipped all the time. You bump into something, a piece would fly off. I'm sure they shattered all the time, like a little slip of the hand and then just poof, all over, and you're like, "Oh." Or they cracked, you know, you set it down just a little bit too hard, and all the contents would start to seep out. There's nothing really inherently spectacular about a clay pot. They were just weak, they were fragile, they were ordinary. And that's Paul's point, isn't it? Like, the amazing reality is that God actually entrusts the priceless gospel to weak, frail, and ordinary people to ensure that from start to finish, God says, "You see that I'm the one doing all the work," and to ensure the fact that God is the one who gets all the glory. Look with me at verse 10. Paul continues on. He says, "Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." So death is at work in us, but life in you. What is Paul talking about here? What is all this death and life back and forth? Well, Paul certainly had literal scars from serving God and serving other people. He had literal scars from his missionary journey. And I imagine perhaps as he was literally pinning that sentence, maybe he looked down at his arm and maybe there was a scar on his arm. Perhaps he got that scar when he visited Philippi, the city of Philippi. And maybe as he looked at that scar, maybe his finger touched it just for a moment, and in his mind, he went back to the time when he and Silas were beaten mercilessly in the marketplace and then thrown into prison. Like, maybe his mind jumped back to that moment and he relived the pain just for a second, relived the blood just for a second, relived the chaos and how scared he was. But I also think if he were to have done that and touched that scar, his mind would have taken him to an even greater memory. Because that scar would have represented not just those sufferings, but also the face of a man who came to know Jesus. That scar would have represented the Philippian jailer as well, who was tasked to keep a watch over Silas and Paul when they were imprisoned. That same jailer would have been the jailer that heard them praying and singing all night long to God. That same jailer would have been the one who experienced that wild earthquake that shook the prison doors off of the prison. And in a moment of desperation, he thought, man, like my life is over. Everybody's escaped. I might as well take my own life. And Paul and Silas said, no. We're still here. And just in his sense of wonder, he said, man, what must I do to be saved? And that jailer gave his life to Jesus. And not only did he do that, but his entire family did that as well. Perhaps that's what Paul has in mind when he says, death at work in me, but life at work in you. Here's what I know. I know that relying on anything else other than God's power when you are serving Him and serving others isn't going to get you very far, because we are all clay pots, as Paul said. We are all going to get chipped. We're all going to get dinged. We're all going to have cracks in us, just like Paul did. We might not suffer in the exact same way as Paul, but they are no less real. Some of those sufferings, they hurt. Some of them are terribly irritating, if we're honest. All of them expose our weakness. But in every single suffering, in every single situation, when we rely on God's power, He's able to take what we've been through and use it for His purposes to reach others with the gospel. This is what he says in verse 13. He says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Here's the third way to experience daily renewal in Christ, and it's to trust in God's promises. To trust in God's promises. If you have your Bible, like a hard copy, or maybe you're looking at the scriptures on your phone, I want you to just underline or highlight, however you want to do it, that phrase, I believed and so I spoke. I believed and so I spoke. Paul is quoting the psalmist from Psalm 116. And in Psalm 116, the psalmist is going through a terrible situation. He's basically having a near-death experience. This is what he says that he's going through. He says, the snares of death encompassed me, and the pains of Sheol laid hold of me. He was literally about to die. And in the middle of that trouble, in the middle of that distress, he believes God can actually deliver him. And so then he speaks out. He calls out to God. He trusts God in faith, and God does deliver him. And Paul's point is this. He says, I have that same spirit of faith. When I go through persecutions, when I go through pressures, when I go through the perplexities of life, when it comes to serving God and other people, he says, I have a belief that is unshakable. I believe, and therefore I keep on speaking up. And what was the promise that kept propelling Paul? It was the unshakable, undeniable reality of the resurrection. That Jesus really did go to the cross. That Jesus really did bear the wrath of God against sinful humanity. That Jesus really did give up His life. That He really was buried. And that Jesus really did raise from the dead, victorious over sin and death. And that was not Paul's opinion. That was Paul's conviction. That was Paul's conviction. And you know the difference between the two. I've heard the difference between opinions and convictions goes like this. Opinions are things that you hold. Convictions are things that hold you. And if you're honest, I think we need convictions in this life, because in the heat of the moment, we're just not very good at making decisions. We need convictions to hold us. That's why on Sunday morning, you come through the double doors and you say, I'm not going to eat the donut. I'm not going to eat the donut. And then you walk past them and you say, well, I'm just going to smell the donut. And you sniff it. And then you, after the service, your friends are eating the delicious donut, and then you use the restroom again, and you've seen it 8 times, and you're like, oh, whatever, I'm just going to eat it. And you eat the donut. We're not very good at making decisions in the moment. That's why sometimes people say, man, you know, I'm going to serve. I'm going to start serving. I think that's a great thing to do. And then Sunday rolls around, and you wake up, and you're a little tired. You're a little groggy. And you start replaying all the things that you need to do and say, well, man, I could really do a Costco run or a Walmart run or get ahead on some house chores. Yeah, like I just need a me day. And you say, well, I'll do it later. And then you call in and say, I'm not going to be there. Sometimes we say, man, I think it's probably a really good idea to actually start sharing my faith. Like I'm going to do it. I think that's an awesome thing when people share their faith. And then that conversation comes and you say, man, I think this is the opportunity. And then you start psyching yourself out. And you say, well, you know, I don't want to like derail the conversation. I really don't know how long this is going to take. You know, I want him to be my friend afterwards. I don't want him to think I'm weird. And you end up not doing it. You see, Paul didn't just hold to his convictions. His convictions actually held him. He said, man, I believe. And so I speak. And friends, the amazing reality is this. If you know Jesus, then the same spirit of faith that was in the psalmist, the same spirit of faith that's in Paul, is the same spirit of faith that is inside of you. And Paul trusted in the promise of the resurrection, and it just gripped his life. Does it compel you to speak, even when you think, maybe, I don't know, should I? Does it drive you to serve when you think, oh, I don't know, I could be doing this or I could be doing that? Verse 16, Paul says again, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Here's the final way we can experience daily renewal, and that is to ask for God's perspective. To ask for God's perspective. You see, when you get God's perspective on your situation, I know this is going to sound wild, but it makes even the heavy things of life seem light. It makes the things that you go through and you wonder, man, is this ever going to end? Seem like, boop, just a little blip. A momentary thing. And the amazing part about this is it's available to you every single day. Paul says, even though on the outside, man, life is tearing me down, Jesus is doing a daily work inside of me. Restoring me, reviving me, refreshing me. It's similar to when the Lord provided manna to the Israelites in the desert. Remember, it was a daily provision. Every single day, fresh, new manna in the morning. All you had to do was go out there and get it. But some Israelites, they tried to get smart, right? They tried to store a little bit extra for a rainy day. Maybe if God, you know, doesn't deliver on his promise, or if he forgets about us one day, we'll have enough. You remember what happened to that extra stored food? It started to stink. There were bugs in it. There's nothing worse than bugs in your food. And there were others that went out and thought maybe they could get somebody else to gather it for them. You had to gather it on your own. You couldn't borrow somebody else's food. No Israelite would have said, you know, I'm just a little tired. David, you know, he was... not feeling well last night, and we were up late. Hey, do you think you could go get our manna for us today? No, God said, hey, each one of you, go gather it, each one of you, as much as he can. You shall each take an omer according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent. And I think there's a principle here that is key to what Paul's talking about. Seeking God and his perspective has to be a daily habit in your life, and it has to be your habit. So don't be the Christian who never reads their Bible and then expects to show up to a church service and then that be the thing that sustained them throughout the week. It's just not going to happen. And don't be the Christian that only engages with God's word through a blog post or through a podcast. That's kind of like eating someone else's pre-chewed food. For Paul, it was an everyday habit. It was his habit. And it completely changed his perspective on his situation. It set his mind on eternal things. It set his eyes on things that couldn't be seen quite yet. And that fueled him to have the strength that he needed to serve every single day.
Well, I hope you understand that renewal is not just a one-time event, but actually a daily invitation to draw near to Christ, to rely on his power, to trust in his promises, and to gain his perspective. So as you go forth this week, remember, you are not alone. The exact same God who sustained Paul is with you. He's ready to refresh you and revive you each and every day. So you can embrace your God-given purpose with courage. You can know that your strength to serve comes from him. So let his love and his mercy be the fuel that propels you forward, and may you find joy and fulfillment in serving others for his glory. Remember, you don't have to live sent, you get to. We'll see you next time.